Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lee and Keys. Just had to make sure we was on right there. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lee and Keys, Real Talk, episode 51. Back with another. Hey, man, it said 5 seconds. I didn't know what was happening. I was scared. Lee and Keys, Real Talk. We hit number 51. Big ting. We want to talk some UFC stuff tonight. We just saw some crazy stuff go down. Today is Tuesday, so yeah, I think it was Friday or Saturday night. They had a crazy UFC Calgary card in Canada. And there was quite a few, there's a few things that we want to talk about from that. And then this weekend coming up in 4 days, probably exactly 4 days from now, we'll be watching the prelim to UFC 227. And wherever that's at, I think Los Angeles. I want to say Los Angeles, but I'm not sure. So, yeah, that one's going
to
be good.
We're about to look it up.
We're about to watch the Bantamweight title fight. We're going to watch TJ Dillashaw defend his belt that he just snatched from Cody. Cody Garbrandt. We're going to watch a rematch. Them two guys are going to slug it out, so we're going to see that one. That should be a good stand-up fight. We're gonna get into some of these things right here. My bad, Lee, for hogging up the spot. I know you in here. Lee.
Yeah, I'm good. What's up, man?
Yeah, you know, I got some questions that I'm going to pitch to you, that I want to pitch to you. So whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Episode 51. I'm going to do a special dedication to episode 51 to LeBron James, who opened up his I Promise School yesterday. Last week I was talking about, what sets LeBron apart from Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant is his philanthropy and his social awareness. And with the opening of his school, it's a great thing what he did for kids that are lagging behind, that are going through financial things at home, For those that don't know about his school, Google it, look it up. It's a good thing. And once again, shout out to LeBron James and his I Promise School that he opened in Akron, Ohio. And, me and my man Keys, our show basically was founded on our love for UFC. And tonight we're getting back to the roots of our show tonight. This don't mean that we're going to talk about UFC from every show from here forward, but tonight we want to go back to our UFC roots and talk about strictly UFC tonight. So what's up, man? What's going on?
Okay, so I don't know if it was Friday night or Saturday night, but the UFC
Saturday
Calgary card, I was supposed to go out that night, but I ended up coming home early, which was actually to my benefit because I got to see some good fights. And first of all, I just want to say that I believe that UFC Calgary was a better card, and also it was a better card on paper. And, well, it was debatably a better card on paper, but the turnout was without a doubt a better turnout than UFC 226. And that is just sad. So I'm going to put a big sad face. I'm going to put a Jordan crying face over the whole UFC and Dana White, because y'all promoted that fight week card for the longest time. You promoted it so hard. Everybody was waiting for that card, and that was a disappointment of a card. You had pretty much the craziest fight on the card in Ganu and Derek Lewis. Was probably the biggest disappointment
Super
of
snoozer.
A fight. Yeah, that was probably the biggest disappointment of a fight in UFC history. I can't think of a worse UFC fight than that. Like, my boy T-Wood and Damian Maia wasn't even as bad as that. Like, that was an exciting fight compared to Derek Lewis and Ngannou. They wasn't even throwing strikes. I mean, my boy T-Wood and Maia might have thrown, 12 strikes combined, but at least they would throwing something. And that was a 5-round fight. I mean, damn, they had like four strikes per round. And Ngannou and Derek Lewis took 15 minutes to throw nothing. They didn't even, I don't think either one of them made contact with each other. I don't even know if there was contact made in that fight. That's how sad that fight was. So, big crying face over the UFC and over that UFC 226, because that was just sad. And then you got, okay, so before I rag on that card anymore, UFC Calgary was just, it was debatably better than that card on paper because they had those three blockbuster fights. I mean, Jose Aldo, you know, returning. You know, he took two losses in a row to Max Holloway. But this is the thing that people got to remember about Aldo, is that this guy only loses to top competition. And when you think about it, like, he lost three of his last four fights before this weekend. And we're going to get into what he did this weekend in a minute. He lost three of his last four fights. He lost to Holloway twice, who's the champion. He'll never be able to beat Holloway. He will never be able to beat Holloway. There's no chance that he ever beats Holloway. I mean, of course, everyone has a chance, but my belief is that he'll never be able to beat him. And then, besides that, he lost to Conor McGregor, so we're not going to get into that, but that's another big talent. Top fighters. And then his only other win from that was he fought Frankie, and that's another big, that's another top guy in the division. So, his win was against,
and I think,
know,
Frankie, and I think Frankie won one of those fights.
I mean, I thought Frankie, I mean, their last fight, Aldo was just running the whole time. I mean, I liked Frankie in that fight because he was the aggressor. He was the aggressor, and he was actually trying to, he was actually throwing strikes. Aldo was just keeping a distance and backing up the whole time, and, you know, he finessed that win. He didn't really fight. He just kind of ran around like Mayweather. But,
exactly.
Jose Mayweather is what I called him after the end of that fight because I was disappointed. and it's funny too because when we were watching it, I was watching it with my dad, and that was my dad's first time watching a UFC card in a long time. And when we was watching Jose Aldo fight, I was saying how he was fighting reserved like Mayweather, and he wasn't trying to, you know, really throw blows with him. And my dad was talking him up, saying, yeah, this guy should be a boxer. He doesn't belong in there. He should be a boxer. It's so funny you're saying that when he's fighting like a boxer. Anyways, I'm going to keep going. Okay, so Aldo, you had Aldo, you had Joanna return and fight my girl Tisha Torres, and then you had the main event, which was Lee. What was the main event? It was something good.
Dustin Poirier versus Alvarez. Hello?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier, too. The rematch. So that one was dope. That was a better main event. Okay, so that fight was better than the main event of UFC 226 as a turnout. The fight on paper was, it was kind of a toss-up because you have a champion versus champion main event versus a, you know, neither one's a champion main event. And but the Alvarez and Poirier, even though it was like two or three rounds and then Poirier got the finish in I think the second or third round, that was still a better turnout of a fight than DC winning by eye poke KO in the first round. So that's how I feel about that. No more eye poke KOs. I can't deal with this. We're looking soft out here with the UFC. This is why, man. People don't want to watch the damn UFC because guys are trying to put their fingernails in people's eye sockets, and it's getting weird now. In the beginning, it was kind of funny, but you know when Mike Perry did it. When Ponzinibbio did it, and then Mike Perry was getting ready for the Ponzinibbio fight. And then Mike Perry did the interview and he told the guy that he's been doing eye poke conditioning to prepare for the Ponzinibbio fight.
Oh man, that's crazy.
Oh man, eye poke conditioning. So I think Mike Perry gonna have to give my man Stipe a call. So then if he ever gets a rematch, the coward DC, and DC don't end up fighting some other washed up, you know, light heavyweight or whatever like that, and you fight Stipe again, then he could do that. Mike Perry can show him the eye poke conditioning, and he can find a way through it. So hopefully they can work that out. But, you know, man, I think the UFC Calgary overall was good. Joanna had a good performance. Aldo had a crazy knockout with a body shot, which was like a great, like that strategy. I can imagine he planned for that exact strategy. Lee, how you feel about Aldo's performance?
Well, let me go back to Joanna real quick. I just felt Tisha Torres just fought the wrong fight. She couldn't take her down, and she just kept trying it over and over and over. It was like I was watching the female version of Damian Maya. The one time she decided to strike with Joanna at the end of the second round, she hurt her. And it was like, why wouldn't you come out the third round throwing, letting your hands go and let her feel you, you know? And then she tried to take her down the whole third round. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It's not working. Give it up. And Tisha Torres, her corner, I don't know what they – I guess their strategy was to take her down and, you know, because we never really seen Joanna down before. So I guess that was their strategy. But with Joanna going to American Top Team, they probably trained her the whole training camp on takedown defense. And you could see that her takedown defense was basically impeccable during that fight against Tisha Torres. And Tisha just, I don't know. It was like she was scared to let her hands go. I think when you down two rounds to none, that the third round you should put all things to put everything you got, you should go for a finish. Not play conservatively, not to get knocked out. Because any which way it go, you're going to take an L. So I'd rather a fighter go out being knocked out, giving it their all, than a fighter being conservative so they can at least stand up at the end of the fight. But Tisha kind of disappointed me in that fight. But Aldo, only thing he had to do in that fight was to avoid Stevens' power. That's all he needed to do was avoid Stevens' power. Stevens, to me, is a one-trick pony. He's like a lighter version of Dan Henderson, that he's looking to knock you out every time he gets in the ring. But if you can stay at distance, use your jab, and let him come to you, you have a chance to do what Aldo did. Aldo hit him with a counter shot body shot, And as soon as he hit him, Stevens couldn't hide it. He tried to, like, play it off at first, but he couldn't move. It was like his body locked up, and Aldo went in for the finish. I think I had Aldo winning that fight. You had Aldo losing. You and me both had Alvarez winning, so we both lost that one, and both of us had Joanna winning. So, you know, we ended up 2-1 that night. Both of us did, so. No, we didn't. I ended up with a winning record. Right?
Yeah, so. Well, yeah, because you had. Wow.
Yeah, because I had Aldo winning. You had Stevens winning. And we both had Joanna winning. And we both had Alvarez winning. So, you know. But
yeah, so you went 1-2.
Yeah.
No, you went 2-1. I mean, no, you went 2-1.
Yeah.
I went 1-2.
But you know, it was a great fight for Aldo, man. And you could see after he won, all that emotion in him, because like you said, he even lost to like the champ and the former champ three of his last four fights. So you know, I want to see what they do with him next. I would like to see him fight what division? That's the 145, right? I would like to see him fight the winner of the Cub Swanson Moicano fight. Or if Max Holloway is going to be out a while. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I want to see him fight T City for the interim belt. If Max Holloway is going to be out a while, so the division.
Hold up, wait. Wait, you want to see Aldo fight D City?
Yeah.
Man, come on, man. It,
who,
see, the problem is that nah, I understand the
who
matchup,
would you put in
but
there?
It's just that, man, I get it. He's still number one. He just had a big win over someone who they was just talking about having an interim fight with him, T City, and having an interim fight with him and Frankie. So he beat another title, the next title challenger that they have up there besides Frankie, and he's already beat Frankie like three times. So really, he's above both of them guys. So yeah, he would be the next guy. But my problem is that if what if he beats Ortega? What, we're gonna watch Holloway and Aldo 3?
I think the UFC will probably have Frankie versus Aldo 3 before they have Holloway and Aldo 3.
Yeah, I just think
I really
Holloway
don't know,
Aldo,
man.
It's just a bad
move. It's just the fact that, I mean, well, you gonna have Frankie fight T City again. I mean, I would. I think T-City actually got lucky in that fight. I think Frankie probably would beat him the second time around.
Well, Frankie
but,
said yes. If it was up to him, he would have fought. It was his family, I guess, that didn't want him to fight Ortega again. I heard that Frankie was accepted the fight. He accepted both fights, the Jeremy Stephens and the Ortega. He accepted both. His family didn't want him to fight Ortega.
Yeah, I would rather see Frankie versus Ortega for the intro belt if Max gonna be out a while. But I'm hoping that Max isn't out a while, man, because I hate when we do intro fights, man, because it's so whack. Intro belt is whack. It's just whack. It's becoming cliche in the UFC that they fight for an intro belt. I mean, and then they just said the other day that since Covington come fight T. Woodley, soon as the bell rings when Woodley fights Darren Till, they going to strip him of his interim belt. Really? You going to strip somebody of an interim belt? Ooh, that
ain't
hurts.
Even a real belt. That's a boo-boo belt.
I know, exactly.
You know what's funny? That's a slap not only to Covington, that's a slap in the face to your boy Dos Anjos, too. Because he was fighting for the boo-boo belt. So they both got a slap in the face. That whole entire co-main event or whatever it was is just trash. That was just complete and utter pointless. They could have just had Darren Till fight Woodley in the first place and have no interim fight.
And we said that. We said that it shouldn't have been an interim fight anyway because Woodley was ready to fight in September, no later than October. He even said that. So what was the purpose of having an interim fight, an interim belt for? There was no purpose of that. I could see if Woodley had been on the shelf for like a year, you know, close to 2 months. You know what I mean? Close to 2 years or something like that. But he had only been on the shelf like 6 months. It was like, come on, UFC. I mean, I know you don't really like the guy that much, but damn, to have an interim belt? Man, that was just ridiculous, man. And, you know, and let's go back to Saturday's card. I'm glad for Aldo. I really don't know what the UFC can do with him as long as Holloway is a champ, because when Aldo was a champ, he basically fought all the top guys. So I really don't know what they do with him. Are they going to make him take a fight at 155, you know, see what he looked like at 155, or are they going to have him fight the winner of the Cub Swanson Moicano fight? And basically he'll be fighting two guys ranked below him. So we'll see what happens, man. But I was happy to see Aldo win, man. And he was very emotional after the fight. I thought that if Stevens caught him, that it would be night-night time for Aldo, because I think he's been a little – he may be a little punch drunk after fighting Max Holloway twice and after being knocked out by Conor McGregor. So we'll see what happens, man. But just to get back to the main event, Dustin Poirier versus Alvarez. It was a weird ending to that fight. Me, as a UFC fan, I understand you can't do a 12-6 elbow. I get it. But I never seen where the ref tells a fighter they did the illegal 12-6-round elbow, and they stand the other fighter up. I never seen that before. Normally, they'll just warn them and let everything ride out. So it was just different, man. Because I think that gave Poirier time enough to they gave him time to get himself together, and also he caught Alvarez with a couple strikes and knocked him out. And I think the change of position actually benefited Poirier, and it hurt Alvarez. So, Mark Garter is a good referee, but I'm going to have to go and read what was his reasoning behind standing him up at that point in the match. What you think?
My thing was not really about that. What I wanted to say was that I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed in my guy Alvarez. I'm getting disappointed in you, man. Come on, bro. The first fight was the first fight was in no contest.
Illegal knee.
I just want to say one thing about this. So before I go into this, I just want everybody to know that the first knee that he, the
was
first
legal.
Time that, he, yes, and that knee, if you guys remember, that dropped Poirier. So Alvarez didn't hit him with a knee when he was already down, that was the illegal move. It was not the original knee to the head. That was fine. It was you cannot throw a knee like that when your opponent's already down. Alvarez should have just threw the first knee. You saw you already dropped him, and he could have just thrown strikes to the head, and the referee was going to stop it. He would have won the fight right there, and then had that happen, then we had the rematch, and then Poirier just won. So then you know what happens next, right? They have a third
rubber match.
Yes, we have a third fight, and I think that one would probably go back to pay-per-view, or it would main event another fight night. I don't know how they want to go about it, but that one would probably be a higher-stakes fight at that point. But see, the thing about it that bothers me, because that obviously didn't happen, so there's no point in really thinking about that. But I'm just disappointed in Alvarez, man, because you're killing me with all these illegal things that you're doing in the fights. You already... they're already looking at you wrong because of what you did in the first fight. And then now they're looking at you wrong and now they're looking at you wrong again because you're throwing the dirty elbow in the second fight with the same guy that you already got disqualified for doing the illegal move in the first fight. So, I don't know. That's just crazy. I mean, he had – who he fought after that? Okay, he fought Gaethje. I don't know if there was anything – if they said that there was anything illegal in the – Alvarez and Gaethje fight, because that was a savage fight.
Nah, that was just a war.
Very well.
That was just a war.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure he KO'd Gaethje with a knee too. I thought there was a knee to the head was the KO there as well. It was in about the center of the octagon, if I remember it. And Gaethje went down. Gaethje fell like a sack of potatoes. It was like, oh man.
Yeah, it was a knee in the clinch.
Guy out of there. Yeah, it was real bad, man. That was like, oh, get the ambulance. The way he fell down, it was kind of scary. Like, it looked like he got flattened. Like, Gaethje turned into a two-dimensional character and fell to the mat. Like, that's what I saw. He looked he looked like he was made out of a paper mache. He looked like he got folded up into origami. That's how bad Alvarez did Gaethje.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Yo, Gaethje, I'm still praying for you, dog. We still praying for you on Lean Keys. But you might got to stop fighting because the amount of hits you've taken at this point cannot be healthy. I mean, I'm sure it hasn't been healthy for a while because that's been your style for, as far as I know, from the majority of your career. And you probably got to start learning some takedowns or some ground game or submission game or something because all the blows to the head cannot be good for you, my brother. My God, that your brain is gonna be like mush. I don't want to see that happen to you.
But that's the only way he fights, though, man. And in the UFC, your career will not last long fighting like that because you are fighting top-level guys. You can't it's like them guys, they think they can bring that stand and bang and trade for three rounds from the whatever promotion they was previously in to the UFC, and it doesn't work like that, man. Because you would seriously be hurt in the UFC taking blows, knees, over and over and over. So Gaethje is going to have to change the way he fight, man. He's going to have a short stint and a short career in the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what is next. I don't know what's next for him at this point because just thinking back, I mean, he's fought three times so far. And he's fought mainly all strikers. I mean, like Poirier, like they're talking about Poirier fighting Khabib. I mean, I watched Khabib after the, he did the press after the Alvarez and Poirier or before, whenever that was. And the crowd was asking Khabib, like, who he thinks is a contender for it, to fight for his belt. And Khabib seemed like he said the winner of Alvarez and Poirier that he thinks is, like, the rightful contender to his belt. And, he said Conor
was
the money fight.
We all know that's a lie.
But he lost. And said Conor was the money fight and that he lost. And then he was saying that Tony – gets injured or whatever, and he pulls out of the fight. And so he said the winner of that two guys is the contender. And that, but see, the problem I have with this is that y'all are trying to feed Poirier to the wolves, okay? Now, don't get it mistaken, because if Poirier fights Khabib, you better believe I'm rooting for Poirier. You better believe it, 100%. But I'm just saying, though, I'm not sure if Poirier is going to be able to do much with Khabib. I'm not sure if he can. I mean, Khabib doesn't really finish his fights. I don't even know if he. I haven't seen anything that tells me that he has the power to even finish his opponents. I feel like he just. It looks like he just throws empty strikes and he just. You can't get him off the top of you, so it looks like you're helpless in the weight. You know, he's a strong guy, and when he's got that top position, it's hard to. You can't really do anything, and the body weight weighs you down, so you look lifeless. I mean, look at Edson Barboza, how he looked. You know, he was looking at his camp like, I don't know what to do right now. But that's not because that he was – I don't think it was because of the strikes that were wearing him down. I think it was the weight. He just can't move, so he doesn't know what to do because it's hard to get around to beat Khabib in his domain like that. Beat him with the ground game is difficult. I just don't think Poirier can do much with Khabib. If someone's going to beat Khabib, you got to beat him with something that Tony Ferguson does very well and that Conor McGregor does very well. And I think Lee knows what I'm going to say. It's two words. I've said it on the show many times.
Mental
you can't
warfare.
Do this. Yes. If you do not have skills in mental warfare, there is no way you can beat Khabib. You need to defeat him in the mind, and then you will destroy. Then you can defeat him in the flesh. And Tony and Conor, in my mind, are both good fights for Khabib because they both have that mental game, and they will both get in his head. And that's what we need to see from someone who's going to fight for Khabib's belt. Any of these other guys are not going to be able to do that. I don't think Poirier is going to be able to do that. Poirier don't talk nearly enough. He's too humble. He's too respectful. Khabib's going to eat him up. Because when he gets in there, he's going to get scared. I think Poirier is going to back down. He's going to try in, like, the first round. He's going to try and make it he's going to try and stand and bang with Khabib in the first round. And once Khabib gets him down, by the opening of the second round, Khabib's going to get him down. And that's going to be the end of the fight. So we're going to see, a snoozer for however long that lasts, whether it's four rounds of a snooze or three rounds of a snooze, maybe two rounds of a snooze if I shut my TV off and go get a beer or something, God knows. I'm not really sure. Lee might even just leave and go, you know, do whatever. He might just anything. We might all just leave our TV at that point because, Khabib, you kill us with that, man. You really, like, I was even rooting for Iaquinta to take his head off because I just can't stand it. That kind of style
I was
is so
just
boring.
About to say that. I was just about to say that. I was like, when Iaquinta started, when he finally started landing strikes, he was starting to hurt Khabib. And it was like, he wasn't scared of Khabib's power. And when he started landing strikes, you could see, like, a change in Khabib. It was like, as soon as he started filling up punches, he was like, let me take him down. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I was like, wow. So the thing about fighting Khabib is you can't let him take you down. Once he takes you down, he's going to smother you on the mat for 2 to 3 minutes, especially if you can't get up. So I don't think Poirier is going to be his next fight. I think it's really going to be him and Conor in Russia. And then I think on that same card, it'll probably be Poirier versus
Ferguson.
Ferguson.
Sorry.
On that same
Poirier,
card.
Ferguson.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be Poirier versus Ferguson and Khabib versus Conor. So, I think Conor, if he gets taken down, can he get back up? I know Khabib going to take him down. I mean, it ain't a matter. Yeah, I know Khabib is going to take him down. Because Khabib is willing to eat one punch to take you down, but he's not going to eat 3 or 4 punches to take you down. So I think he's going to take Conor down. I think Conor needs to show us that he can fight from his back, that he can get out of guard, that he can make Khabib uncomfortable on the ground. I think Ferguson can make Khabib uncomfortable on the ground. I think Alvarez could make him uncomfortable on the ground. So,
what about Kevin Lee?
Kevin Lee can fight off of his back, but he's more of an aggressor when he's on the ground. When you watch him on the ground, if he's not the aggressor, then he becomes kind of like a turtle a little bit. So,
wow.
So, you know, but I'm going to heart back to my thing, though. If we do see the Conor Khabib fight, I think Conor should still be fined 20% of his purse, and he shouldn't be eligible for any fight night bonuses. That's just me. I think he should be fined for what he did at the prior UFC event where he caused some fighters to get hurt, to not be able to fight. He cost the UFC money. And the UFC still needs to punish him for that. So, but I like the Conor versus Khabib fight. I like Poirier versus Ferguson. And then the winner of the Ferguson-Poirier fight fights the winner of the Khabib-Conor fight. The Khabib-Conor fight, yeah. So that's where I'm at with that.
Yeah. It's funny because I think that's likely to happen. I mean, Dana White said that when the press asked him about, you know, Tony Ferguson recently and what was going on with him, he was saying that Tony was trying to get back. And I've seen videos of Tony training and stuff, and he's doing a whole bunch of wild stuff, you know, jumping around like he does. He's always very athletic. So Tony's definitely looking active. He's on his feet, and he sounds motivated. I watched another interview with him, and he was looking. I'm no doctor or nothing, but I mean, he looks okay to me. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he looks everything checks out. I mean, ask his camp why he tripped over a fire extinguisher last time or whatever that was that happened. I don't know. I mean. Watch out for him.
It was a speaker wire.
Okay, so, yeah, they got to watch out for him and to not trip over something before his fight. Because it's crazy how that was really the reason why they didn't fight. I mean, up to that point, everything was a go. So as long as he doesn't fall over any, you know, random objects this time, I think we'll be able to see Tony get in there. And I think Tony, I mean, neither one of them fought. I mean, okay, so who was the champion? Okay, so Conor McGregor was the champion. And the way that it really, like, really pans out is, like, I think they stripped Conor of the belt, but then nobody fought the champion, though. Like, nobody beat Conor. So no one, to me, it's kind of like, okay, like, Khabib, the champion, but he fought a guy who's, like, barely even in the top 15 for the belt. Tony was the interim champion, but and he fought a guy who was, like, ranked number 8 or 9 at the time or something like that. I mean, I think Kevin Lee's ranked,
Kevin
number 5 now. I think Kevin Lee's ranked higher now because after that, since then, he fought Barboza, and I think he finished Barboza in that fight. I think he finished him. Or did he win by unanimous decision?
Unanimous decision.
Oh, okay. Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee didn't finish Barboza?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure since then they moved him up in the lightweight rankings. I think he's like number 4 or 5 at this point. But at the time when Ferguson fought him, he was just coming into the rankings, really, because his first fight with like a ranked guy, I think, was Michael Chiesa. And once he beat Chiesa, then he had the promo with Ferguson saying that he wanted to fight him, and he kind of laughed it off. Then next thing you know, the UFC made the fight. So, I mean, he still fought like a guy that was kind of new. I mean, both of them didn't – what I'm saying is they didn't really fight anybody. Like, neither one of those was like a top 5 fight to win the interim belt or the real belt. And also, neither one of them fought the champion. So, I don't know, man. That whole thing is kind of a mess, but if I really had to pick it, I'm a Ferguson guy, so I'm going with Ferguson. I think Ferguson's going to come out there. I think he beats Poirier, even though Poirier is good. I have faith in Poirier. I mean, he can win, but I just think Tony has one too many weapons for Poirier to handle. And Poirier is going to try and strike with him, and once he realizes that Tony eats those shots, and he realizes that, oh, wow, I might not be able to, like, knock this guy down. Like, what happens when you realize that Tony's, like, you ever see that moment in, Lee, you ever watch The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Remember that moment when Batman visits the Joker in that prison? And he starts, like, the Joker's, like, sitting on the floor, like, laughing. And then Batman, like, keeps punching him in his face. And then the Joker just keeps laughing louder and louder after every punch.
Yeah.
So that's basically Tony Ferguson. To me, that's how I think that Poirier fight will go. I think Ferguson, every time you punch him, he just gains more power. And the next thing you know, you're on the ground trying to, like, fight him off, and we know his ground game is, like, stellar. So he's just got too many weapons for Poirier. I think Ferguson's going to beat Poirier. And then, I mean, obviously I'm a root for Conor, but Khabib's still, you know, I'm not going to, you know, that fight, I don't know. I mean, obviously I root for Conor, but I don't know. I got to just see it through. I'm not, because you know what the problem is that when Keys tries to predict main events, it doesn't go my way anymore, so I'm just not going to try and say what happens. I'm not going to predict these big cards because every time I say something, next thing you know, my guy's getting viciously knocked out, and I can't deal with that, okay? I'm still not emotionally past what happened to Stipe. Okay, that eye poke KO doesn't sit well with me. It does not sit well with me. My stomach is uneasy. Okay, Stipe, he didn't get a fair shake, and I'm upset. And I feel like it's because I was rooting for him so hard, that's why he didn't win. So if I wasn't rooting for him so hard, maybe, you know, he could have withstand the eye pokes. What do you think about it?
Well, you know, I
more on the Ferguson and Poirier fight. Like, how you see that one going down? It's likely going to happen. I think what you said is going to happen. It's going to have Conor and Khabib main event, and then that's going to be the co-main event.
I think the thing is I am a true believer in ring rust, and Ferguson might have some ring rust. Poirier would need to get him out of there within the first round. If he doesn't get him out of there within the first round, Poirier is going to have problems because Ferguson can damn near do anything in the octagon. So, I mean, I'm serious. He can strike, he can wrestle, he can submit, you know, he can grapple, he can scramble. So
you're really good.
Ferguson can basically do. Yeah. So
not in top position, like when he's on, literally on his back, like he might have like a ground game, but like when the other guy's in top position, he might be, you know, they usually say that's a bad spot, but if he's on, that doesn't mean nothing to him. He embraces that. He loves that. I feel like Ferguson gets excited when that happens. Like he wants somebody to take him down. So that's the thing about the Khabib fight is I feel like Khabib would probably get. Oh, you know what? My bad, bro. I just kind of cut into you. So keep going.
No. That was fine because you made a good point. And that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying about Ferguson can do it all in the octagon. I mean, there isn't a thing in the octagon that will basically, let me see, that you could basically dominate him at. So I think Poirier would need to come out in the first round and have the mat and just go balls to the wall, because starting that second round, I think Ferguson going to find his groove, and he's going to start dominating Poirier, and then he's going to probably dominate him in the second and third round. So I like Ferguson and versus Poirier. I also like as much as I can't stand Conor McGregor, I want him to beat Khabib because I think Khabib is overrated and overhyped. So, and Kevin Lee is number five. He's ranked number five. I looked it up. So,
okay.
We'll see what happens, man. I think it's a lot to, it's a lot of fights that need to happen. I think we already know who the top four guys are. It's Khabib, Conor, Ferguson, and Poirier right now. And we need to have those four guys fight on the UFC Moscow card. And that way you can have the title eliminator fight and the title fight. But would the UFC give, if Conor beats Khabib, would they give Khabib an immediate rematch? Or would they make him fight the loser of the Ferguson-Poirier fight? I think they should make him fight the loser of the Poirier fight, because if you look at his record, he has beaten no one. Only person he basically had beaten in the UFC is Iaquinta. That's it. And Michael Johnson. That's it. Those are the only two names that, when I looked at his record, are the only names that I recognize.
Hey, I'll save that for after. I won't even try to. What was I saying?
Hey, but I got a question for you, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I got a question for you. And you know, me and my coworker Calvin, we was talking about this on today at work, and about immediate rematches. Are you in favor of immediate rematches? Or do you dislike immediate rematches? Or are there circumstances where immediate rematch should be granted?
I mean, I think my rule of thumb is that if you were a dominant champion, then you deserve a rematch. Even if you don't get it. I mean, you still at some point could be in the title fight again, or you're still in the picture because of how dominant you were. Kind of like how Aldo is always like a championship contender because he beat so many guys. He was a really good featherweight champion. And like some of these situations is like with the Cody and TJ, like that one, a lot of people were saying Cody shouldn't get a rematch, which is understandable because, I mean, he only fought for the belt. He beat Dominic Cruz in like a very dominant performance, which I give him all the credit in the world for. He made Dominic Cruz look like a amateur in there. And, that was an underrated fight. But after that, he didn't do much of anything. I mean, he got injured. He had, I think, surgery on his back. And he basically was on the sidelines for, like, about a year until he fought, until he defended the belt versus TJ, where he got knocked out or whatever. He got finished. Yeah, he got finished in the second round. And granted, you know, people forget that TJ also got saved by the bell in the first round, and it was right at the end of the first round that Cody caught him with a shot. And if he hadn't, if the round hadn't ended, it is likely that TJ might have got stopped. I mean, if he had, like, if Cody had like an extra 10, 12 seconds in that round left, I think he might have finished TJ at the end of the first round because he was definitely hurt on the ground, and he was able to get that few minutes in between the first and second round to come back to life. And that's when, you know, he got the stoppage in the second round, but just don't forget that. But anyways, is that people were saying that Cody couldn't get the rematch. I mean, all he did was, and then he sat out, and then he got stopped by Dillashaw. So in that case, I mean, I think they have the rematch more for the story because that's an interesting rivalry. And it seems like all the Team Alpha Male, you know, all the rivalries that come out of Team Alpha Male seem to be pretty interesting.
True.
You know, they had the, you know, they had the TJ and Henin Burrell, and then when TJ beat Henin Burrell, they gave Burrell the instant rematch. And then you had, you know, Dillashaw and Cruz. When Cruz come back from the injury, Dillashaw didn't get a rematch. I know some people say he should have, but that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying that the Team Alpha Male storylines do seem to be pretty interesting. And then leading up to the Cody and TJ, then Cody get knocked out, now they have the rematch. My point is just that the storylines of the Team Alpha Male are pretty interesting, and I think they're a big selling point to UFC fans. And I do think that Cody and TJ, I'm pretty sure it was the co-main event of UFC 217, was a big selling point in that card. Not only just did GSP sell, like, you know, a couple hundred thousand tickets, but I do think that Cody and TJ sold a couple hundred thousand tickets, you know, as well as Joanna probably sold a couple, you know, 100,000 tickets, and then so forth and so on. I mean, those three title fights were definitely all selling points in that event. But I do think Cody and TJ played was a major factor in the overall success of the event and the interest, you know, leading up to it and afterwards. And so what I'm just trying to say is that I think in certain cases, if you were a dominant champion, then it makes sense for you to get an immediate rematch. But when you never really got on a run, I don't see why you get an immediate rematch. I mean, like, Joanna got a rematch with Rose because she defended the belt, I think, four times. Well, technically five, but she lost the fifth one, I think. Or she lost the sixth one?
Yeah.
I forget, but she was running through her division a little bit, so I think the rematch was warranted. At this point, I don't think that the rematch makes sense because she got her rematch. She lost by unanimous decision. Then now she just had a good performance against Tisha Torres. And then after on the post-fight press conference, they asked her about, like, her stuff, and Joanna did say that she thinks that she should get another title shot after that win. And I think that's bogus, Joanna. I think you're fronting out here. Because, first of all, you got knocked out in the first round. And then after you got knocked out, you got dominated in the rematch. And you lost by unanimous decision. So, it was not even like it was a split decision. It was not even like it was a majority decision. You got unanimous decision. All three judges said Rose won the fight. So, you lost that fight fair and square. And then after that, she had the audacity to further complain about the judges, saying that she said, like, the judges weren't experienced and this and that, and I don't know what that call was. I won that fight, crying. And then now she goes out there, and Dana White says, here you go, kid. Take what you can get. You're going to fight Tisha Torres. You're not getting a shot. Fight Tisha Torres. She has a good performance. She's crying on the after thing, saying she loves the Canada crowd. I'm glad to see that you're so humble now, because you was talking all that shit until you got beat twice. And then now she come out saying that she thinks she deserves another title shot. See, in that case, that's another sad face for the UFC. That's a Jordan crying face for you, Joanna. Right over you and over your head coach and the assistant head coach and everybody else in your camp. That's one big crying face for all you guys, because that's just sad to me. You got the rematch, it made sense, but now it doesn't make sense because you lost twice. So why would you get a third fight after you won one fight? You got to wait a while. It's like Ngannou. Ngannou got dominated so bad. This isn't the same exact case, but he got dominated so terribly that he does not, especially then he just had the worst performance ever, and probably in heavyweight history. Probably the worst performance ever Ngannou had versus Derek Lewis. Both of them had terrible. I mean, at least Derek was trying to do something a little bit. I mean, I think he was engaging a little bit more, at least trying to throw a kick here and there. And Ngannou forgot he was alive in that fight. I don't even think he knew where he was at. I feel bad for that guy. You know, they were saying they were saying he needed to go see a sports psychiatrist.
I'm gonna say this about immediate rematches, and this is my thing. If DJ loses to Cejudo Saturday, he should get an immediate rematch. Why? Because he's been the longest tenured champion in that division, and he knocked Cejudo out the first fight. So he deserves an immediate rematch. Stipe Miocic deserves an immediate rematch versus Daniel Cormier. Stipe had, I think he tied for the most title defenses at heavyweight, UFC heavyweight division history. And
no, he broke the
technically
record. He broke the record.
Yeah, he broke the record. All right, he broke the record. And to me, it was the eye poke changed the trajectory of the fight. He was dominating the fight up to the eye poke. And I think that has to be taken into consideration. Now, as far as Jordan, she lost to Rose twice. First time by knockout, second time by unanimous decision. And the thing was that she had Rose right where she wanted her. Rose could barely walk, I think, by the end of the second round. And Rose walked her down and punched her in the face for the next three rounds. So I don't know how she come up with it. She won the fight, I guess, because she landed – laying kicks, you know, whatever. But Rose punched her in the face for three rounds. So I don't know how she come up with that. Now, with the Cody, TJ, Dominique Cruz thing. The Dominique Cruz, TJ Dillashaw fight was so close that TJ should have got an immediate rematch. But the UFC, being that Dominique is their boy, they told TJ that he would have to fight another fight before he could get a rematch. So he went and dusted somebody. I want to say it was a Sun Sal. He went and dusted him up before his fight versus Cody. Now, Cody gets knocked out by TJ and gets an immediate rematch, and that was his first title defense. I totally disagree with that. I think TJ probably should have been able to fight somebody else, maybe a Marlon Moraes, or maybe Dominique Cruz again if Dominique wanted to fight. But I think Dominique Cruz might be, I think he may be semi-retired, but I would have rather see TJ versus Marlon Moraes and, you know, see Cody versus Rivera. So, you know, I mean, that's just me. But immediate rematches have to have some kind of rhyme and reason. And the rhyme and reason has to be worth the consumer wanting to buy that pay-per-view. Now, Daniel Cormier, John Jones. We know they don't like each other. So if they, after their first fight, of course everybody was going to flock for the second fight because the first fight was so good, the build-up was so good. And I think DC, you know, he did his thing as far as working his way back up to deserve a rematch. The UFC is so wishy-washy about the way they do business that it makes us as a fan, you know, we always guessing on what they're going to do next. So what are they going to do? How are they going to screw this person? And they screwing Stipe because they looking at Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is a big draw. Brock Lesnar, la, 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 la. Brock Lesnar is not a good UFC fighter. I'm sorry to inform y'all, UFC. He's not a good UFC fighter. Only thing he can do is take somebody down. Only thing he can do is take somebody down and hit them with little baby hammer fists that he do. That he throw like 15 or 30 seconds, you know, like Frank Mir said. So, you know, Brock Lesnar isn't that good of a fighter. Most people still look at him as a wrestler, a WWE wrestler at that. So, no, you should give Stipe his immediate rematch because Stipe has did everything. He cleaned out everybody in the heavyweight division, and he's a model guy. He's a stand-up guy for your organization, and he's a stand-up guy in his community. Ben, he's a fireman, and he's still fighting in the UFC. So this DC thing, not wanting to give Stipe a media rematch, come on. And then y'all don't want to give Gustafson a rematch to fight DC because DC want to fight some clown? Come on, man. The UFC needs to come up with some kind of rules as far as when they issue immediate rematches and when they, and you know, just so we as the fan, we understand it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's sad. The Brock, man, one of the last shows, you know, our boy Rodney was on here, and he was talking about that Brock Lesnar guy, and I got so disgusted. You know, I almost barred him off the phone because the more I talk about this guy, I realize how much I've never been a fan of him, and I might never be. I'm never going to be a fan of him. I don't think I've ever rooted for Brock Lesnar in any match that he's ever been in any place in his career because I just don't like his image. I don't like this, like, freak show type image that he gets associated with, I mean, that he represents. Oh, look at this really big guy who fights little guys. Look at him throw these little guys around. Man, get the hell out of here with that thing. When he fights guys that are his size in the UFC, we seen what happened to him when he fought Cain Velasquez, a guy who can actually bang with him and has size like he does. He got destroyed when he fought Overeem, who's not scared of his size. He got destroyed again. So get the hell out of here with that Brock Lesnar thing, man. I can't stand that. I can't stand the fact that DC wants to fight him for his last fight because that's just embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
You know who DC should fight? He should fight his boy Cain Velasquez, who he always is. I almost wanted to say the words, but I don't want to swear on this show right now. So, but he's always praising him all the time. He's always got his mouth full talking about his boy Cain Velasquez, how great he is. When's the last time we've seen him even fight? I haven't seen Cain Velasquez since. I think I've seen Forrest Griffin fight more recently than I've seen Cain Velasquez fight. So, I don't know, man, what y'all talking about here. Everyone's always talking about these guys and they never fight. Oh, everybody is so great. When's the last time they fought? I think DC should go fight his boy Cain Velasquez if he's so great. Because didn't he say he wants to be the greatest of all time? Didn't he say if he won two belts that he might be the greatest UFC fighter of all time? But I thought that Cain Velasquez was
That's
the greatest heavyweight of all time. I thought Cain's the greatest heavyweight of all time, even though Stipe beat your boy's record with title defenses. So when you're in sports, do you talk about the guy who has the best story of all time, or do you talk about the guy who won the most championships of all time? So which one is really the real record here? Because the story gets talked about, but which one is the record? Which one is goes down in history with your name attached to it, the championships? Because all these players that do great, like Carmelo Anthony has been a great player since I was a little kid. I remember my brother's friends used to come over and swim at the pool, and they'd be wearing Carmelo jerseys back when he was on the Denver Nuggets. Y'all remember when Carmelo was on the Denver Nuggets? Yeah. Lee remembers that. That was when he was a Denver Nuggets fan. And
well,
I've
never
been
a Denver Nuggets fan, but but I was out here when he was here.
Yeah, so that was probably the last time Lee acknowledged the Denver Nuggets game. That's what I'll say. He wasn't a fan, but he acknowledged it. So,
and Cain Velasquez's last fight was July 9th, 2016 versus Travis Brown.
Okay. So, the last time that Cain Velasquez fought, Carmelo was, I think, still a New York Knick. So, that's still really far. That was still ages ago. And
you couldn't even drink then.
Yeah, yeah. Are you saying I couldn't? Yeah, I couldn't drink then. You're right. Yeah, I wasn't even. I couldn't even. I couldn't even go have a legal beer at the bar back then. That's how crazy that is. And now I'm past the point of drinking at the bar, to the point where I'm already done all my drinking. I'm already sick of going out. So that shows how long Cain Velasquez haven't fought since. So,
well,
that's just ridiculous.
I'm going to put it like this. My dream scenario, and I know you probably ain't going to like this, but my dream scenario for DC's last fight is DC versus John Jones for both belts at 225. And that's a super fight.
Yeah. Yeah, not crazy like it's an impossible
line.
Way. Like it's reasonable. I could see the UFC doing it because that's like a big business move. A double title fight? I don't know if that's ever even happened. Two belts on the line?
That's what I'm saying. And basically what you'll be doing, if DC wins, could finally say that he can go out in retirement and say, he could say that, he could scream it to the skies that he's the greatest of all time, even though I won't believe that. He will believe it in his mind. The UFC will probably hype him up as the greatest of all time on his way out, and he'll beat his biggest competitor. But at the same time, there's a lot for him to lose because he'll be 0-4 against John, and he'll lose both belts on his way out. And would he really want to go out that way? But that's just my pipe dream, and I look at that as a super fight for both belts. That way John could probably go down and fight Gustafson again at light heavyweight, and then if he beats Gustafson, he could just relinquish the belt, and then he could just move up to heavyweight, which I think would be his natural division going up. But it ain't going to happen, man. It'll never happen. They're going to have DC fight somebody that's washed up so that he can look good and, you know, send him out on his shield like that. So, and I don't know why they haven't stripped him of the light heavyweight belt yet, because he refuses to fight the number one guy. So, it is what it is, man. I would rather see DC fight Curtis Blaydes, to be honest. Fuck Brock Lesnar. Let him fight Curtis Blaydes, a guy that can wrestle just as good as DC, that has a little bit of power in his hands. I mean, I know he's a little young in the game, but I think it'll be stylistically a good matchup.
Yeah, you know, that's actually interesting because I remember watching Curtis Blaydes when he wasn't even fighting ranked guys. First time I watched Curtis Blaydes, he was like, had his guy pressed up against the cage, and he was kicking his legs off, his leg in so bad that I'm pretty sure like a bone popped out. Like this guy's like,
oh, Lord.
I think it was a shin bone. You gotta look it up, man. People don't remember this, but I'm pretty sure Curtis Blade kicked the guy's shin bone. Like it was exposed. Like it was bad. Like this guy was like wincing in pain. Like it was kind of like, it was gross and it was scary at the same time, because it's not very often that you see like freak injuries like that. I mean, I get why, because he was really kicking the legs off this guy. He was really attacking this guy's legs, like for a good you know, round or two. I forget how long it was, but man, you got to look that up on YouTube. Curtis Blaze, you got to. I forget who he fought, but I don't even think it was a ranked opponent.
I don't
that was
see
before.
That shit.
Nah, you got to look it up, bro. You got to see it.
No, I'm not.
That was man, come on, bro. That was my guy, Blaze. That was his breakthrough UFC moment.
Yeah,
after
fine.
That,
I'm
they were like, damn, we got to get this guy. We got to get this guy in here. Have him fight Mark Hunt. And it was Hitler. Yeah,
you know,
but
man,
I like that fight, though. That's a good wrestling match. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, I know DC want to go out on his own terms. I know he's a two-division champ simultaneously, and that has never been done. And yeah, it was done. Conor did it. But I think the UFC still needs to make fights for the fans. You can't keep having guys run from guys. He's definitely running from Gustafson, and it's ridiculous. And if you're not going to let him fight Gustafson, then get Stipe his rematch. To hell with Brock Lesnar. How Brock Lesnar come back and fight Stipe? If you really want him to fight a heavyweight, let him get destroyed by Brock Lesnar. I mean, by Stipe. You know,
yeah,
and then he talked
him.
Trash about Ngannou to how he'll fight Ngannou. And I know, I'm quite sure Derek Lewis will want a piece of him. But the thing is, they'll protect Brock Lesnar. They'll protect him by having him fight some guys they think he stylistically matches up with. But we all know he doesn't have a chin. So they'll have him probably think that he'll get in there and beat a guy like Blaze, where Blaze would dominate him because of his skill. So Brock isn't that good. That's just plain and simple. He's not that good. So how DC fight John Jones is for his last fight, man. Everybody wants to see it. I mean, them two guys their rivalry is second to none outside of Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor. So, and plus I think DC will probably put everything he got into that fight just so he could say that he hung in there and maybe that he won that fight. So strip him of the light heavyweight belt, though.
Yeah, you know, I think if they were to strip him of the light heavyweight belt, I think they could have – that could potentially open up a couple interesting storylines, because you could probably have Gustafson could probably fight who just had that big win over Glover Teixeira. Somebody just, I think, knocked out Glover Teixeira. I'm trying to think. Corey Anderson.
Corey Anderson
had a big win over Glover Teixeira. So that probably opened up an interesting storyline. You could probably have Gustafson
Anthony Smith just had a big win too.
Yeah, okay. See, there's another one off the top. I was just trying to think of the most recent ones. Yeah, Anthony Smith just knocked out Shogun Rua, so, and he's on a couple fight winning streak now. So, I mean, there's other guys out there you could match up. I mean, you could have Gustafson fight. He's got to wait, because I think he just dropped out of his fight with Volkan, so you can wait till one of those or both of those guys get back from whatever they're doing. I don't know why they.
You got
I don't think
also.
It ever, oh, yeah. Latifi as well. Yeah, I heard Latifi called out John Jones. We all know that fight would never happen, but that fight would never happen. That's the 0% chance, Latifi, that you're fighting John Jones. Just stop. And behind the scenes, I'm not an advocate for John Jones. Lee knows, but I'm going to tell you this, Latifi. you will never get that fight in your whole career, so just stop. And that, that's all that we can say about that. So, yeah, so maybe they can have Latifi fight Anthony Smith, and they can have, or vice versa, and then have if Gustafsson or Volkan, whichever one comes back first, maybe they end up fighting, or whichever one, if one only comes back, maybe Volkan can fight Corey Anderson. I mean, there's a bunch of matches. He could drop the belt and stop being boring and let these young guys, the new blood fight, you know. Lee's all about the new blood, so, you know, relative.
Exactly.
Anthony Smith is new blood. Guy's brand new.
Yeah, I'm all about the new blood, man. I'm all about the new blood. I think the UFC doesn't do a good job promoting the younger guys, man. They still want to hold on to the old guard. They want to hold on to the Brock Lesnar's, the Cyborgs, the Daniel Cormier's, you know, the GSP's. You know, they want to hold on to them guys. I get it. You know, them guys have made you a lot of money. But one day their career is going to come to an end, and you got to have the second wave guys ready to take that torch and be stars. I mean, guys like Corey Anderson, Curtis Blaydes, Kevin Lee, T-City, Sergio Pettis, you know, guys that, you know, that are very, very young in the game, but are doing it the right way for us, fighting to be a champion, not talking to be a champion. And for me, especially when some of these young guys may fight each other, and our guy, we ain't even talked about him, Israel Adesanya. Israel Adesanya, man, he's going to be a problem. He is going to be a problem. I'm going to let Keys talk about Israel Adesanya right now. The floor is yours, Keys.
Yeah, so, okay, here's the thing. Israel Adesanya is, okay, so he came on the scene so quick and hit the ground running. Now, let me explain this to you. So, I think he came up in Dana White's Contender Series, and that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, and he was a kickboxer.
So this kickboxing guy, you know, he was in a couple other fight organizations. I was looking him up on YouTube. I seen a couple of the promotions with his name on the cards and things like that. I mean, he's had a plethora of fights, and he was on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series not that long ago. I know it was less than a year ago. I mean, the show hasn't even been out probably that long, but it was probably earlier this year, and he had, you know, an impressive run on there, and he got the UFC contract, and from that point, next thing you know, they're giving him a shot on the Ultimate Fighter finale against Brad Tavares took the fight, because Brad Tavares wanted to fight Bisping, but Bisping decided he was retired, so they gave him Adesanya to fight. And then, you know, my boy Adesanya had a very impressive he dominated Brad Tavares. And Brad Tavares is the number 10 ranked middleweight. Maybe he's a little lower than that, but I know he's in the top 15. I mean, he fought and he dominated Brad Tavares on the main event of the Ultimate Fighter finale, which was, that was the night before UFC 226, and that was a huge look for him. You know, there was a lot of eyes on that event because it was International Fight Week. Maybe not as many as they thought, but there was a lot of eyes on him. So now he's, I mean, another thing about him is that he's very vocal about his skills, and you could tell he has the confidence. He believes in himself 110%, and he talks the talk, you know. And I think it's just time that he's got to start walking, because he's calling out guys. I mean, he's on there. He respectfully called out Anderson Silva. You know, he had this long Instagram post saying that, you know, he remembers watching Anderson Silva, you know, as a kid, and that was pretty much his inspiration to even want to start fighting, was watching Anderson, and that he would love to share the octagon with him. So it was a very respectful call out. I mean, when I saw that, when I read it, I was like, wow, you know, this is kind of like, you know, the childhood hero's got to fight, you know, his, you know, apprentice. This is like the young grasshopper versus the, what's it, the Padawan versus the Master Jedi. This is like Yoda. This is like Yoda versus Anakin Skywalker. So that's an interesting fight. And then, so I guess now Derek Brunson, I think either Derek Brunson called him out or he said something about Derek Brunson. And then our boy Brunson recorded a video, which I've seen going around on the net. And he was talking a whole bunch of mess about wanting to fight Adesanya. So next thing you know, after that, I'm hearing that that fight is like really close to being finalized. My boy Israel Adesanya is about to get the big ticket fight against Derek Brunson at Madison Square Garden in November. So that's what I'm hearing. That's the latest. So my boy is rising quick. Adesanya is a problem. I mean, they say, a lot of people say he looks like a mix between Anderson Silva and John Jones. And I mean, I understand the comparisons. I mean, he's a big dude. He's tall. I mean, he's got long legs. I understand. I mean, the style, he's excellent striker. He's very smart. You know, fight IQ is there. I mean, I'm anxious to see what he does. And I hope that they get the luck in that Brunson fight, because then we'll be able to, you know, see a little bit more where he's at. I'm excited.
I'm excited for the Brunson fight because I think Brunson comes with a lot of power, and I want to see whether or not Adesanya has a chance. But at the same time, I've never really seen Brunson wrestle, so I don't know that part of his game. But I like Adesanya. The only thing I don't like about him is I really don't like guys who talk their way to opportunities. I'd rather you fight your way to opportunities versus talk your way to opportunity. I think he's doing both right now. I just don't want him to fall in the mold of Cubby Covington and Conor McGregor. I think he has a lot of skill. I think the fight before he fought Tavares, he dominated that fight also. So I think the kid has a bright future in front of him as long as he stays focused and, you know, he fights his way to his opportunity. That's all I ask. You know, I can't stand guys to talk their way to opportunity, taking the short route. And once again, he's fresh blood. New blood, I'm all about. And this kid, man, I like this kid, Adesanya. When you sent me that text talking about you guarantee he'd be a champion within, 18 months?
Yeah, I said.
I kind of sort of agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, I think he.
I agree with you.
I think he'll either be middleweight champion or he'll be in talk, like he'll be in the championship contender by I think I said mid 2019, so like June, because that was probably around June when I said that to you, so a year. Yeah, June 2019, he'll be either the number one contender or he'll be the champion middleweight division. And that's not a shot at Albert Whitaker neither. I'm not saying he could beat Whitaker. I ain't running out to those conclusions. I'm just saying that, you know, whatever happens, he could be, you know, just don't sleep on my boy.
Yeah. The kid got a lot of skills, man. I mean, he's very skillful. I just hope that he keep his head on straight. He doesn't get into these verbal sparring matches, and he just keeps proving it in the ring. Just prove it in the octagon. That's all we ask, is that you earn your keep in the octagon through your skills. Moving on to another subject, you know, Ben, we're talking UFC. This. What's the most disappointing division in the UFC to you? The most disappointing and the most exciting. We'll go with the most disappointing first.
So I'm not going to include the obvious ones because the obvious most disappointing. Yes. So the obvious most disappointing divisions, we've already ragged on them on multiple other shows, like the women's 145 division. We've trashed that
whole
guy, whatever that even is. I don't even that isn't even a division. That's just a big mess. So we're not even going to count it. We're just going to act like that's not even a division. So I'm going to go breeze right by that. The strawweight division, those fights have been a little bit more intriguing than in the past lately. I mean, I watched the Claudia and what's her name there with the
Carla Esparza.
Yeah, I watched the Claudia Esparza fight. That one had me a little interested, and then I just watched the Joanna and Tisha Torres, and I'm kind of a little bit in love with Tisha Torres. I got a big crush on her, so that made it interesting. Hopefully they could book her, you know, once more before the year is out, because she's just beautiful, and it's always interesting if she's booked versus anybody, to me. So that was good. I'm not going to say that's not the – so they're getting a little bit better. That's not the least interesting. The least – wait, what you said, the least interesting? Is that what the word you said? Or the most disappointing?
Disappointing. Yeah, most disappointing.
All right. So, I mean, I'm not really, like, big. I've been vocal. I'm not big on flyweight, but, like, at the same time, I mean, do they have women's flyweight division now, too. Yeah, I'm going to act like that's not there either. I don't give a damn about that division. I'm talking about the active division, the ones that, like, are on cards and stuff like that. Like, I know, like, the Shevchenko's fighting the flyweight champion, like, co-main event to Woodley and Darren Till. I saw that advertisement. I mean, they're going to do things. We'll see after that title fight how interested I am in that division. But for right now, I still feel like that division is still in, like, the building stage. They haven't really gotten to any point yet. But, yeah, men's flyweight, I mean, it impressed me with the Demetrius Johnson and Ray Borg fight. I mean, the title fight is what really gets me into the division. The way the title fights go on is what will get me more interested in the other contenders. But the last flyweight one was interesting, and that was a good performance from Demetrius Johnson. So I can't say that one's not him, because that was pretty, because it got me interested enough to where I'm excited to watch him fight Henry Cejudo this weekend. And normally I might not be, so that one's good. I mean, the bantamweight is always interesting. Like I said, Team Alpha Male always puts on interesting things. I mean, featherweight is good. Lightweight's debatably the most competitive division out there. Welterweight is epic. Middleweight, what has middleweight been doing? Yeah, middleweight's been having some wars too. Honestly, the most now that I really think about it, the most disappointing division probably is a tie right now for me between women's bantamweight and light heavyweight, men's light heavyweight. That's probably a tie, because light heavyweight, there's pretty much just about nothing ever going on because DC never wants to fight anybody. So that's that. I mean, they do have contenders, but if he drops the belt, I'm sure that would probably be a lot more interesting, see some of the new guys fight. And then bantamweight, the fight is, they're all so respectful. No one ever wants to create any type of tension, or they don't even show competitiveness.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. You an athlete. Like, show some kind of competition here. That's what this is about. Like, they do it in sports, and they don't even have to. Like, sports, you don't even really need to sell the NBA Finals for it to get viewership. You just need to put on the event. People are going to watch it. You don't need to even be that competitive in the NBA Finals. You just go out and play, and people are going to watch it. Same with the Super Bowl. You don't need to sell the Super Bowl match. But when you have a fight, you do need to have some kind of competitiveness, because it's only one versus one. So they need to know what they're getting out of it if they're going to watch it. You're not seeing a whole team of guys coming together to give somebody a performance. You're seeing one versus one, so you guys got to put on. So women's bantamweight, most disappointing division, I would say. because they don't even have potential to be more interesting. At least light heavyweight has prospects. They don't even have potential to be more interesting. And what'd you say? What's the most impressive division? Probably either. I mean, heavyweight was exciting because Stipe was the champion, but now that he's not, I'm probably not going to care about heavyweight nearly as much. So I'm going to say lightweight is probably the most. Damn, this is tough. It's probably, for me, there's like three divisions. I mean, welterweight is, it has so many, like, so many fights to make. Lightweight is probably the most interesting. Lightweight is just too stacked. There's just too many fights. You can match up anybody in lightweight, and it's epic. But then welterweight probably takes welterweight and bantamweight. Probably welterweight, then bantamweight, like second and third. Those both all have potential for more matches. I mean, no matter who wins, Cody or DJ, you have Marlon Moraes on the ring. And, you know, a couple other guys that can make some good matches. Dominic Cruz might come back, so that's a match for anybody, whoever wins. I know both these guys are looking at him. So, yeah, probably lightweight's not the most exciting division, and women's bantamweight is the least exciting division to me. What do you think?
I'm going to say lightweight is probably the most exciting division because you have so many fights. You got so many fights that can be made that are good fights. And then I think heavyweight is weak, man, because so many heavyweights are one-dimensional that, I mean, I get it that when we watch big guys fight, we want to see them basically somebody go night-night. But at the same time, you want to see guys that have well-rounded skills. As far as, like, you know, Stipe, he can wrestle, he can stand and bang, you know. McCain was in there, you know. Kane had, you know, he had some diverse skills too. But now, man, you just got guys that just want to, if they can't knock you out, they can't beat you. And that's not good for heavyweight. I mean, when we look at a heavyweight fight, I mean, I'm be honest, I'm expecting somebody to go to sleep, you know, looking for some big punches. But I think the most well-rounded guy in heavyweight is Curtis Blaydes, man. It's like, he has, I mean, him and Stipe, I would say they're probably the most well-rounded heavyweights in the game. So I'm disappointed with the heavyweight division, and I'm definitely excited about the lightweight division. I'm definitely excited about the lightweight division. So
yeah, lightweight,
you know, man. I'm not even going to talk about the women's division. I mean, the 145 is basically non-existent. The 135, you have Nunez. I mean, it is. I mean, in the 145 division, I haven't even looked at the rankings in 145. And I think 135, you do have Nunez. I would like to see Nunez fight Holly Holm. And I think in the 145, I guess, you'll see Cyborg versus Nunez, and then you'll probably see Megan Anderson in there somewhere. So we'll see what happens, man. It's just that the UFC needs to get smarter with the divisions, and especially with the ladies. You barely can field enough fights at 115. You can't build fights at 145, but then you go create a 125 division. Why? It just makes no sense to me, man. It makes no sense. But, you know, man, it's been fun talking UFC tonight. It's been a long time since we did this. And I'm looking forward to this week's card. I got TJ winning. I got DJ winning. And that's who I'm rolling with this weekend, TJ and DJ. And that sets up their big super fight probably later on this year or first quarter next year.
Yeah, so either way, I mean, a big fight could happen. But, you know, it's funny because I was going to jump on this show. I was going to try to bust your balls and be like, yeah, I think my man Cejudo is going to KO your boy.
I was thinking about saying that. Yeah, but see,
you don't believe
like,
it
sometimes. Sometimes when I joke, like, and it's too much of a joke, I don't even believe myself saying it, and because of that, I don't even have the inspiration to continue a storyline about why it's gonna happen. So, like, if I would have come on and say that, it would have just been called bullshit in like 2 seconds because I didn't even put in the effort to try and like sell the story and make you believe that I feel that way. So yeah, I mean, yeah, nah, and Demetrius Johnson. It's just a matter of what round. It doesn't really, like, matter. It's just, like, what round is he going to get the finish? That's really the question. And then I also think that TJ and Cody, I mean, this is the main event, and I've been doing bad lately with predicting main events. I've been doing really bad, so I don't even want to predict this. The last time that I tried to, you know, make a call on a main event, and I was right, was UFC 220. Oh my God. I think UFC 222 when Ortega, I bet on Ortega. Wait, that wasn't even the main event. What was that? I don't even know. Oh yeah, Cyborg. I bet on Cyborg to beat Kuniskaya, and that wasn't even a difficult prediction. So that's kind of sad. That was the last time I was right. Because 223, I said Iaquinta, and he lost. Then 225, I said Romero, he lost. Then 226, I said Stipe, and he lost. So I'm, like, hesitant to even tell you that I'm rooting for Cody to win, get the belt back. I'm not going to make an official prediction. You can say on the next show that I had Cody, that's fine. But I'm not going to go off and say, oh, Cody's going to demolish him. I'm not going to talk shit. I'm just going to say, yo, either one of them could win. We've seen that they both have the power to knock each other out. Because Dillashaw got dropped in the first round. He almost got finished, but he got saved by the bell. And then in the second round, it was like mid-round or whatever, and he was able to drop Cody with that kick. Then Cody got back up, and then he dropped him again, and he got the finish in the second round. So we know that both of them guys have the ability to knock each other out. They can both finish each other. So it's a pretty good matchup, and we'll see what happens. I'm rooting for Cody, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
And honestly, I couldn't tell you another fight that's on that card, by the way. Besides those two fights, I don't
either.
Know any other fight that's on
actually,
that card.
Actually, yes,
I really
can. Carl Swanson is up there. Carl Swanson is on that card fighting Moicano. Yeah, he's fighting the number 10 ranked guy, Moicano. Beth Correa is back. She's fighting on that card. They have another fight that I actually thought might be pretty good, too. Let me see. I have to find it. I had the card up. What happened? What happened? Come on. Okay, TJ Cody, Demetrius Cejudo, Cus Swanson, and Moicano. I don't know these two young ladies. Thiago Santos and Kevin Holland, I think that'll be a good fight. Ricky Simon and Montel Jackson, I think that'll be a good fight. And my underdog fight on this card is Ricardo Ramos versus Kyung Ho Kang. I think that'll be a fight that nobody really knows who the guys are fighting, but I think they can put on a good fight. But you're right, man. This card really isn't that stacked to be a pay-per-view. This is more like a fight night card to me. The only reason it's a pay-per-view is because they got two championship fights up here. And me personally, I wouldn't buy it. I would go somewhere and watch it, which I am. So. Yeah, I really don't think it's a pay-per-view card. I think last week's fight night card was maybe more of a pay-per-view card than this one is.
Yeah, and that's sad because we didn't have any titles on the line in that thing. So, I don't even know if I'm going to watch this card, to be honest. Like, I was just waiting to drop that bomb on you, but you might not even believe me, but I'm not even sure if I believe myself when I say that I'm going to watch it.
I'm gonna watch it because DJ fighting. That's the only reason why I'm watching.
I could easily just like get the updates and be like, all right, like I don't know, we'll really see what happens. I'm not gonna base my plans around watching it. We'll see. I mean, if I do, I do. But if not, I guess the gods didn't want me to watch it. I'm not too thrilled about this card, bro. I mean, it's cool, but it's, you know, life. And what I really need is that T-Wood card, the one after this one. That's the one that I'm death watching. No, I'm watching that one.
Yeah, September 8th.
Yeah, so, it was good. You know, we chopped it up. We got back to our, you know, original content tonight, and that was nice. You know, we got to break down some stuff and throw some opinions out there. We chopped up pretty much, you know, 1,000,010 different topics about the UFC. A lot of stuff that I couldn't even imagine us getting into, but we just kept flowing and we just kept rocking out. So, always call up Speak Your Mind, 917-889-3251. Anything you want to talk about, we're open to it. Like Lee always says, we don't shy away from any topic. So on that note, Lee, if you have any last things you want to tell the people before we go over and out, now might be the time.
Lee and Keys Real Talk, episode 51, dedicated to LeBron James and his recently opened school, STEM school, I promise. If you don't know about it, Google it and see all the good things LeBron is doing for the kids in Akron. It's great to see a sports figure or athlete or celebrity give back to his community in a positive way. I know there are a lot of athletes out there that do it that probably don't get credit for it, or it goes unheard or unseen. But this is a great thing LeBron did for the city of Akron, and Jalen Rose did the same thing in his city of Detroit. So shout out to LeBron and Jalen for their STEM schools for helping young people get quality education. Shout out to Lee and Keys, episode 51. Everybody stay blessed. Have a great night. And to next time, Lee and Keys signing out. Peace.
Lee and Keys, Real Talk, episode 51. Have a good night.